Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand your plan and purpose for mankind, as well as your remedy for the issues we face as a result of the fall of Adam, that ultimately become a curse that you turn into a blessing through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we study, we ask by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen. We're in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, where the last time we finished Romans 5:11, our expanded translation was, "And not only this, but we also brag in God through our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So we see a bunch of articles here that pointing the nouns to their monadic use, specific to God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the reconciliation. Of course, the reconciliation is a system that God uses to resolve the problem of the fall. We became enemies as a result of Adam's rejection of God, and then God solved that problem through Jesus Christ, and actually places us in a position stronger than Adam was in. Once you accept Jesus, you cannot unaccept him, and you are in him forever, thus guaranteeing your eternal security. And that's a real blessing to us, for us, because it makes the power of God the power of our salvation, and that's important. The issue with the angels is they had volition on the back end of their experience. And they were completely created up and running in full majesty, I guess you would call it. And then came the test issues related to God's eternal plan. I mean, Jesus is described as being slain from before the foundation of the world. So that would imply before anything was created, that was in view. So their volition came into play after they were created and completely functional in the spiritual realm in the various categories of rulership that they were given by God, by his sovereignty. And volition came into play as they accepted or rejected God's plan for that went on past that. And we don't really know why. We can opine about it. I have some ideas, but whatever. We don't really know the cause of the rebellion that occurred. But it occurred, and now we have the remedy, because it propagated into mankind as a result of Satan's desire for a retrial, in essence, or an appeal, I guess you would call it. And we're in that process at this point. So God ultimately worked through his plan, which was to create this super spiritual creature, that be us. And he's now using the devil's fall in the process. So in verse 12, our next verse, so let's look at them in the two translations we have. We have in the New American Standard, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin." And here we see the beginning of the concept of the classes, the class Adam and class Jesus. So everybody's born naturally in Adam, but they're born again into Jesus. And when you're born again, now you're in the status of eternal life and all the other blessings from God relating to his work through him, which is what we'll be talking about here in the next few verses. So if we look at it in the Nestle-Aland Greek text, through the, as indeed through one man, the sin, and that's, we notice we have sin there with a article which wasn't in the numeric standard. The sin, and it's important because that's monadic. It's actually speaking of his old sin nature, the original sin plus the old sin nature, which is, and we're going to note the concept of sin singular and sins plural. This is singular. into the world, came in, and through the sin, singular, again, monadic, the death, again, singular, monadic, important to understand the death. We don't die, it's spiritual death here. We don't die physically because of the fall of Adam. We died spiritually. We were actually born spiritually dead. So the death that he received at that juncture of his sin in the garden was spiritual death, which involves separation from God, which God remedied immediately after he was rejected from the garden. So at the first thing he did with them is address the issues with the devil, with the woman, and with the man. And then he offered the sin offering in Genesis 3:15. The death also finished thusly, or this is how it came into all men. The death went through, went through on to all sinned. There we go. So that basically Adam's culpability for sin was transferred throughout the entire human race for our benefit. When we actually get right down to it, we'll talk about that briefly in our verse 12 here as we go along. So going back to our original our word-by-word study in the Greek, back up here for verse 12. Through this, that's our first couple of words, dia, preposition dia, through, plus the accusative neuter singular from the demonstrative autos, this. So that's our first two words here. And that kind of that correlates to the therefore. It's how it happened. So through this or therefore are equivalent statements. That means for this reason, it's a prepositional phrase that's used to reference back to what precedes and draw a conclusion from it. So what's going on here is Paul's referencing back to the previous verses. He does that throughout this whole chapter. Remember, it's the much, much more concept. So he's developing. He starts with a predicate. He establishes the predicate, and then he parlays that into a more, much more construct, and then he establishes that one as the predicate for the next one, and then he establishes a much more concept there. And so as we roll along here, he's magnifying the blessing that we receive from God on the basis of Jesus. And of course, this is God's plan from the outset, was to provide all these things to us, because it was a necessary construct for the church age believer spiritual life. You know, that's where it actually references to in the end. So just as by one man's sin, that's our next phrase in the English, or through one man's sin, the comparative adverb hosper means there's translated, it's through here, or in, over here it's in hosper is even as or just as. Those words are kind of conflated in the English, cutting down on some verbiage in the English language, which is what they like. Well, the translators, again, are after a word-by-word translation to the extent possible, and if they can conflate words, that helps too, because there's less words. And the point there is to be able to correlate it. And especially if we have a word-by-word translation, like the King James or the New American Standard, you're able to correlate it through the Strong's or some equivalent back to the original. And so you can look at the English translation and see a word, which is what we're using here to do this. Now, you got other kinds of translations that aren't really word for word. They're like the New International, even the Net Bible. Is not really it's kind of an expanded translation. It's got a lot of connections, however, a lot of notes. But the three major word-for-word translations are the King James, the New American, actually, you probably have to say the Revised Standard Version, and then the New American Standard, the American Standard Version and the New American Standard. There's a new, all three of those. There's a new King James, there's a new Revised Standard, and there's a new American Standard. So, those are the primary. There are others too, but those are the primary ones that do the word for words that are popular that do the word for word translation concept. So our word comparative adverb hosper, just as that is used as a comparative clause. So we're going to make a comparison here. Then the prepositional phrase dia, that means through or by means of, plus the genitive of the numeral heis, one, plus anthropas, just as through one man. So he's explaining that the whole concept of sin and death accrued to humanity through one person. That person was Adam, the titular head of the human race. And that's, of course, he sinned when he ate of the fruit of the tree that the woman gave him. So the woman had the dialogue with the devil. She was completely deceived in the process. And then Adam, who was not deceived, ate it because he wanted to be with her rather than with God. That's kind of the way you got to look at it. Because God had a problem here. Well, he had a problem. The woman had already eaten of the fruit. And the choice for Adam was, do I want to stay with her outside the garden or with God in it? And the choice was made. God knew they would make his choice too. Remember, omniscience. The choice was made that he would follow the woman out of the garden, which is what happened. And of course, that was God's. Actually, when you want to understand the process, you've got to realize that was really the T0 of a human race. Up until that point, everything was just waiting because there was no procreation. Until after that happened, so everything was just it's like if you start a computer on a board or something, you hold a reset button. And sometimes if you hard booted your router or something, they have a little pinhole in the back. You can push a pencil in there, or a pin, shove a button that resets the whole thing and lets it fire up from scratch. Clearing a lot of memory of things, stuff that kind of can get used if it's not built properly, and it's used and lost because of the way they spool memory in and out. That's technical, but that's why you would do it. I mean, occasionally, if you call a guy on the cable company or whoever does your internet, he'll tell you to reset the box. Okay, this is what equivalent was happening with God. God was holding the button down until they sinned and he let up on the button. And that was T0 for the human race. Everything else in the plan of God rolled out from that point forward. So we don't know how much time they spent in the garden before they sinned. It could have been many years. We don't know. We have no idea. We have no frame of reference for that. But the angels were out doing their thing at that point. I mean, they had the two divisions, of course, the fallen angels and the elect angels. But they were all doing their thing during that whole period, waiting. And the devil was trying to deceive the woman. So that was what was going on. So the one man is Adam. God's justice deals with Adam and his progeny by reserving the personal sins for all of mankind for judgment on the cross. And remember, that's, again, the two cases, Adam and Jesus, for the purpose of saving the entire human race. So that's how he uses the concept of the classes to provide salvation in one bucket. Basically, Adam, all sin, and we get to that in a passage here in a second, and Christ, all are made alive. Okay, those are the two divergent titular heads of the human race in that sense. Plus a nominative singular, ho, harmatia, that, remember, thus sin, that's where we saw that. Thus, see, it's not in here in the New American Standard. But it's important because you got to know what sin is involved there. It's not sins. It relates to Adam's original sin, which was unique because it was the first. And it also connects it to the sin nature, which is what Adam acquired in spiritual death, the tendency to sin. So we'll talk about that too in a minute. So the sin, with a definite article, it's monadic, so it refers to a specific sin. It does not refer to personal sins. Now, that's important, because sometimes you have personal sins, and sometimes you have specific sins, as in this case. And generally, when it's singular, well, we'll mention it here, or to the old sin nature. So those are the two options. And it refers to Adam's original sin that Adam committed. So that was the predicate for the sin nature. It was also for his personal sin. But for us, the way it's relevant is the sin nature, because that's what gets propagated through the gene pool. The word hamartia occurs twice in this verse, once for the original sin of Adam and once for the principle of personal sin. that is the trend that would be sin nature. For this reason, just as through one man the sin, that's our phrase, this is a reference to Adam's original sin when he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, that was the fruit that had a command related to it. And there was nothing wrong with the fruit, per se. It was the decision to eat it that was the issue. So the sin was hanging on a tree, waiting for it to be eaten. And again, it probably looked very nice. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it tasted good, too. Very, very improbable that it was bad at all in that regard. But it was the issue, the point related to volition. And that's the thing, volition. I mean, really, that's the issue of always. People are, I mean, the problem we have in our country today is people are trying to eliminate volition as a factor in making bad choices. That's where the whole DIE thing comes from. It's from conflating doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing and thinking it's all the same. That's really the root of it. That's where you get out of, that comes out of the critical theory. And you have the oppressed and the oppressor. You know, that all comes out of conflating what's right and what's wrong and thinking it's the same. And it isn't the same. Of course, that's related to multiculturalism. It's all demonic. The objective is to try to obscure the superiority of Christianity and the relationship with God. Because everything else is not a relationship with God. There's only one relationship with God. And that's why they hate the United States. And they really hate Christians. That's really, I mean, you get right down to the root of it, that's where it's going. They hate Christians because Christianity and what Western civilization became with Christianity and the prosperity has accrued to this nation and other Western nations who followed that particular pattern, is the they hate the fact that these nations have this blessing from God. And it's not really the people that are hating it, the politicians and media people. It's the devil that's doing it. He's really the one that's hating. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Those people are completely deceived. Even the ones who are doing it on purpose are completely deceived. The devil is the real battle. And our battle, we're spiritual. Remember, as a church age believer, we're the highest spiritual creation God has ever created. It's called kainos katesis. We'll get to that later in Romans. And that's the new spiritual species. And our battle is against the devil directly in that sense. And it doesn't have to do with engaging him per se, but simply doing the doctrine. We do the doctrine under the ministry of the Spirit. And then Jesus comes along and he puts the kibosh on the devil ultimately when he's done putting up with it. And we just don't know when that's going to be. It's a good long while from now anyway, because he's going to show up again after the millennium just to show how fallible man is. The devil will deceive everybody except for Jesus and the people who have his word locked into their brains. It's that simple. He's a sophisticated guy. And everybody will fall for it. And our country has fallen for it in large regard. That's why we have the divergence we've got in our country at this point. So entered into the world. So that's our next phrase. The sin entered into the world. The aorist active indicative of the compound verb isershamai means to enter into. The aorist tense is a constative aorist that refers to the momentary action that occurred at the instant of time when Adam switched from God's personal love as a point of contact to God. To God's justice is his point of contact. See, that's what happened. See, people always say God loves you. And that's true if you understand what love means. He loves believers, personally, only believers. Everybody else he loves with perfect integrity. And the problem with the Bible, the word, is it's translated love in both cases. You know, so that you have a John 3:16 passage, which is God loving the world, which is who? Everybody who's at war with God. Now, you're supposed to love your enemy. In essence, that's what God is doing when he loves the world. He's loving his enemy. What's that mean exactly, though? It's not personal love. It's impersonal love. Impersonal love means you love that individual based on your perfection or your standing, which means doing the right thing, okay, for that person. You don't judge them. You just stand your ground and let them do what they want to do, given that they have freedom. And if the law has to deal with them, they have to deal with them based on their authority. And the thing is, the law in our country is blown off their responsibility under the present zeitgeist. So, but we aren't to judge people per se. We're to recognize them, recognize what's going on, but then we recognize that they're also deceived. So our battle is really against the backing, that guy's backer. That will be the devil. And you know that until you stand your ground and you wait, because ultimately Jesus is going to come through for you in his time, whatever that would be. And you may be in heaven before that happens. We don't know. Might be, might not be. So momentary action that occurred, the instant of time when Adam switched from God's personal love, that would be in the garden, to justice outside the garden. Now, we go the other way. Now, he went back to the personal love from God when he believed in Jesus. That was the Genesis 3:15 passage. See the woman. That was his Jesus. We, on the other hand, start on the justice side of God, and then when we believe in Jesus, we are in personal love. So God personally loves every believer in Jesus Christ, and only every believer in Jesus Christ, not everybody else. They're the target of his integrity love. That would be the right word to use, integrity. They're not the target of his personal love. Why? God cannot personally love anything other than perfection. You got to be perfect. So that means you have to have what? God's righteousness. See, that's what happens when you believe in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven because they were judged in Jesus, and God gives you his righteousness. Not because you're righteousness, but because you believed in Jesus. So that's the issue. And really, that's the issue. That's the issue between going to the lake of fire and not. I mean, anybody that does not have God's righteousness goes to the lake of fire. Everybody who does have God's righteousness does not. They go to heaven. How do you get God's righteousness? You have to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, of course, the devil hates that because he's losing the battle anytime someone believes in Jesus. So he tries to obscure that, and that's what we have in our country today. Because they don't recognize the blessing we had in our country and continue to have based on momentum was related to that personal love that God gives to believers. So anyways, that's why believers are really the target of their hatred. So God's personal love is, for this point, is contact to God's justice as his point of contact when he sinned by eating the forbidden fruit that took him from the woman's hand. They took from the woman's hand. See, the problem Adam had right there and is that he was completely separated from God at that juncture. Now, they didn't understand what that meant until it happened. Then they understood. So, but God knew what was going to happen, and he was planning on it. Remember, Jesus was slain from before the foundation of the earth. So God was expecting this to happen at some point, and God omniscience knows all knowable. So he knew exactly when it was going to happen in the course of time after they were created, after the six days of creation. And he was just waiting for this to happen. The active voice, Adam produced the action of the verb when he sinned. The indicative mood describes the action as a new situational reality. See, when we talk about, we are dispensational believers. Now, some believers aren't, most believers are not. Most theologians, teachers, pastors, don't teach dispensational theology. Now, I don't know how you can teach the Bible properly without it. I don't think you can. But this new situational reality is basically a new dispensation. And if you look at people who teach dispensational theology, they will describe them differently. The first age prior to this is what they refer to in the theologies, systematic theology, as say the age of innocence. Okay, that was before the fall. And then you have they move it into the age of the Gentiles. Okay, so they would differentiate right here. So that's what what occurred here when Adam and the woman ate of the tree was a new dispensation. And what's that mean? Well, that means their relationship with God changed. That's all it means. In the garden, they were the target of God's love, personal love targeted them. Now they moved into the devil's world, because that's what happened when they sinned. And now, for at least initially, their target or relationship with God is his justice. And that happened until they believed in the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, which is just a few days later at most. Probably the same day. So they switched back to love there. But now they're in the devil's world. And so now you've got the whole system that God had foreseen coming into play. And that would include the cross and all that that came down through history. Now, it took a long time for that to occur because a lot of things happened in between. It happened, what, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years later, more or less. Probably 4,000, about. Because you got the antediluvian period, then you have the Abrahamic time frame up to Abraham. Noah. From Noah to Abraham. And then you have Abraham down through, basically, to Moses, and then on to going on down through. So what's happening during that whole period? The seed of the woman is the channel is being defined in that whole process. And it starts out with Adam and goes to, well, initially it would have been Abel, right? Abel was killed. Cain killed Abel. So then it became Seth. So then that narrows down through, and you eventually get to Noah. Because he and his kids are the only people that get through the flood. And then it goes to Shem. So, and then you go down through to Abraham. And then you got that's a huge change there, because you have the new racial species. Isaac. So, and then you have Jacob in the 13 tribes. Ends up being 13 tribes, because Joseph gets 2. And then that sets up the whole Jewish system. And that narrows down through, ultimately through the tribe of Judah, and then King David, you know, all the way down through, and then ultimately Mary and Joseph were both in the Davidic line. Now, Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus. He was his stepfather, because God, the Holy Spirit, provided Mary the chromosomes for the birth of Jesus, so it was a virgin birth. So that whole thing, that whole period of history, all related down to that event. And then after Jesus went to the cross and came back, was resurrected, and then 40 days later he hits the road, and 50 days later the church starts with the filling, indwelling and filling of the Spirit. That's another dispensation. So all through that period you got several dispensations that are playing out. So this is the first one now here. The transition from the first to the second was when they ate of the fruit of the tree and were kicked out of the garden. Plus the prepositional phrase "eis" or "into," plus the accusative of "whole cosmos." So we have again monadic, the world. Now this is a world that's not it's referring. We'll just read it. Again, monadic, referring to the world that had been restored to perfection by the Holy Spirit in 6 days. So that's our Genesis 1 passage. After the first couple of verses. This is the world that had been restored to so humans could live on the planet. Remember, the angels rebelled, and God locked them up in ice. So it was a frozen, the whole planet was frozen. If you look back through history, people wonder why certain things. Why can you find certain types of animals in certain places on the earth, and certain types of animals that aren't here anymore? And how they try to measure history using carbon dating. Why did all that happen? Well, it involves the angels, the angelic rebellion, God's reformatting of the earth to support human life because it had been destroyed. And in the war, and or should I say the insurrection, then Adam's life, and then we transition from it being under the aegis of Adam to under the aegis of the devil. Okay, that would be what had occurred at the point they ate of the tree. So that this is speaking of the world, that the planet, the earth, that and that has changed over the years, you know, thousands and thousands of years. This cosmos or world is not the same cosmos, or with a K, capital K, but that Satan rules at this time, that came into effect after Adam's original sin. See, there was the world, the earth existed here in perfection. In other words, you didn't have bad weather. No, so what causes bad weather? The tilt of the earth. Okay? That's why, it's my opinion, you can't speak to this. I mean, the Bible doesn't speak at this level of science. It just says it's going to be perfect. But the earth can't be tilted if that's going to happen. You know, if you go back and look at the prophecies relating to Israel, and the weather has to be totally different in the millennium. So how do you fix that? Well, you put it back on a vertical axis. And then the temperatures stratify across the earth. You don't have this constant clash between the cold and the warm. Okay, the days and the nights are going to be different. A whole lot of stuff's going to be different. You know, we think it's going to be the same. No, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be more like the earth was before the flood. Before the flood, the climate on the earth was perfect. And what happened during the flood? Well, we can make the case that a big asteroid ran into the earth, probably, to cause the things that happened to happen. And that involved the tilt. You know, well, so, I mean, there wasn't anybody, there's no science books written down back then coming forward to us. We can only look at it backwards and see maybe that's what it might look like. And we don't know for certain, but we just know it's going to be perfect. So the word harmartia, sin, is in the singular, so it can be used to describe three things. It can be used for Adam's original sin in the garden, for the old sin nature, or for the principal personal sin in the singular. Sin, it not sins plural. So that's what we have to realize. When you see the word harmartia singular, it's pointing to one of those three cases. That, and all relates to the predicate of sins is the point. It's what causes sins. Because, amen, that's why we say that we sin because we're sinners. We personally sin because we have Adam's original sin imputed and the trend of the sin nature. That's why we sin. So the predicate for our personal sin, which we're all judged on the cross, is Adam's original sin. That's where it started. Okay, and that was passed down to us through the gene pool. You know, that's how that happens. The natural gene pool, because the only exception to that natural gene pool is Jesus. That's why he is the uniquely born Son of God, or only begotten, using King James language. The original sin also changed human nature and set up a proclivity or tendency to sin. See, before that, they were neutral. Could they sin? Yeah. But did they have a proclivity or tendency to sin? No. See, now we're actually programmed to work with the devil. That's one of the disadvantages. Well, God turns a curse into a blessing. But that's one of the things that happened. Is we, as a human race, the individuals within the human race, after the fall, have this proclivity to do the wrong thing regarding God's word. And the next verse we're going to get into discussing the law, which just came to read out the sins. It's not like everybody started sinning after the law. No, they were already sinning. The law simply reads out what they were doing. So before the law was given, which is a long time later, people sinned. Sin is defined in the Word of God as a transgression of the law. But it's much, much deeper than that. It's actually contradicting God's perfect integrity. That's a better definition. Because it precedes the law. And we're going to see that in our next verse when we get there. So, alright. So when Adam made the decision to sin, it became a trend in his soul. We were born with that trend because Adam acquired it when he sinned. The first time Adam sinned, he started a trend, and with that trend comes down to us and is a source of our tendency or proclivity to commit personal sin. Okay, so that's why we are the way we are. So if you want to get upset about that, which doesn't make any sense, can't do nothing about it, that's why. You sin because you're a sinner and because Adam invented the process. Okay, that's what happened. That's why you are. That's why the world is the way it is. It's filled with sinners. And to expect them to be any different than they are is nuts. I mean, the gospel is the answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that juncture, then they have the potential to defeat it. Until then, they don't. They're going to just do what they do, and that's what they are. Now, there are some restraints on with that regard to morality that can exist, and that happens. And that's a benefit. But then you get the then you get the wacko leftists and their ideas about that. You know, that's why you hear the words like, it's a white law. Well, what's a white law? That's a law that's designed by the oppressor to keep the oppressed oppressed. You know, that's why we're so crazy in this country. God's law, the word of God, living life in accord with the integrity of God, which is what the Mosaic Law to some extent reveals, is considered by the leftists as a tyrannical ruling system. That's why they're calling Trump, they're thinking he's going to be a dictator. Well, what they mean is that he's going to use the law, the word of God, to establish right and wrong. And they're doing everything they can do to break that down. That's why we got what we got. That's why the criminals get caught by the police, taken to the court, and the judge the DA lets them go, because the DA is paid for by the leftists. That's why we got what we got, you see? Now the cops trying to keep the law, which these DAs say, well, that's a white law. And it relates to only white people, that only law only applies to white people. Actually, it only applies to the oppressor in their context. And in their context, that's white people. So that's why we are what we are in this country. They're rejecting the entire system of divine revelation. And they see that because make America great again means reestablish divine viewpoint to some extent, which is kind of, you could make that case, right? I mean, that means that you don't steal people's stuff and you don't kill people. You don't be a pervert. Just go through the Ten Commandments you got, okay? Take that paradigm and put it back over top of our society, and now the oppressor, the white people, is back in charge. That's their viewpoint. And so that's why they are hateful. That's why they're so scared of him. Now the question is, how many people in this country really care about God's word to the extent that an unbeliever can keep it? Because a lot of them are unbelievers. And that would mean morality. Okay, that's why they call him that. It's not because they really think he's not going to be a fascist in the sense that we would think about it. That would be Stalin and Hitler and the guy in China. Those are real fascists. Cuba, the guy down in Venezuela, those people. That's real fascism. Okay? It's funny how they embrace that while they will not tolerate God's word, which is freedom. It's really ironic. That just shows you how deceived they are. That's why we're up against what we're up against as a country. And we're at a tipping point. We don't know which way we're going to go here. And even if we do go the right way, we're not going to go the right way long enough. I mean, this cannot be perpetuated unless people get right with Jesus. It's that simple. Because it's not going to go anywhere without that. The predicate, you got to have the basis for it all to work. And that's believing the Lord Jesus Christ in the end. It's just not going to happen. So even if the conservative side, if you want to call it that, if the divine establishment side, let's use those words, wins, it's not going to last long because the people haven't bought into the concept of the predicate. And as long as they don't, that's why I train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And we have neglected that. And that's why we have all this divergence, especially in the younger kids. They're voting now. Okay, it's real easy to understand. And if you look at the Word of God, you see everything. You see why it's going the way it's going. You see how to fix it. And you see that it ain't going to be fixed. And prophecy tells us it's not going to be fixed. We're not there. That tells you everything you need to know. United States, the biggest powerful nation in the world, that ever has been in the world, is not in prophecy. Now, how crazy is that? Well, it tells you there's something going on here, eventually, that takes us off the map. How that exactly works, I don't know. But you got that to look forward to. And all chances you're going to be gone out of here before it happens, called the exit resurrection. So, and death through sin. So then we have the predicate for death is the sin. The conjunction chi and is used to introduce a result that comes from the antecedent that precedes it, so it is transited and so. So again, sin occurred first, because remember, the wages of sin is death, and God told them that if you eat of that tree over there, dying, you will die. Okay, so that's the death we're talking about here. Because they ate of the tree, death occurred. Now, what death is that? There certainly wasn't physical death, because Adam lived 930 years after T0. So, dia, through, and the definite article with the noun ho hamartia, again, the sin, with ho thanatos, again, the death, that's used here for spiritual death. So this is a specific death, again, with the sin and the death are monadic. It's specifically addressing the kinds of death and sin involved. There's no wiggle room. It is what it is. It's very specific. So sin in the singular combines two of our concepts of harmatia. Sin, the original sin, plus a trend or proclivity that was developed simultaneously. So when Adam fell, the whole thing started rolling. And all of the things that we have on this earth today are artifact of that reality. You know, it's going downhill ever since. Now, nothing has changed, really. I mean, there have been changes, a little bit. Well, the weather changed. You know, again, when he did this, we were vertical, in my opinion. And now we're not. That happened at Noah. That happened at the flood. And now we got all the things that go on the planet that are crazy because of the way the weather bangs into itself. So our translation, for this reason, just as through one man, Adam, at one man, that would be Adam, it says one man, I'm putting in the Adam, the sin, in this case, the sin nature, entered into the world, and through the sin, the death, that would be spiritual death. So that's the status of everybody at birth, physically alive and spiritually dead. That's the way we are. We're born. That's where we start out. Okay, so which means that everybody starts out being targeted by God's justice. Okay, now that's a good thing because God has integrity and he's going to make it right as much as he can. Now, there's an onus on us too. I mean, he opens the door, but you got to walk through it. You got to say, yes, sir. Okay, volition's involved here. And if there's no volition involved, then it ain't happening. He did all the work for you, but you weren't the beneficiary of the process. So, and in this way, death passed upon all men. That's our next phrase. And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay. So the conjunctive use of the conjunction chi, and plus the correlative conjunction hotos, in this way, plus the nominative singular subject of hothanatos, that is the spiritual death. Again, we have the monadic use of the word. If you go over here and look at it on the other side, see we have the sin, we have the death, we've got those articles all over the place. You know, they don't always come over into English, which does leave for some, that's for some ambiguity. That's a problem. That's why you got to go back to the original to see it, because there's no ambiguity in the original. I mean, you know for certain what's going on when sin's said, and you know for certain what's going on when death is said, in the original. It's not ambiguous. In this passage, thanatos never refers to physical death. It's not the topic. It's about spiritual death, which is separation from God. From this, plus the aorist active indicative from the verb dikerkomi, I mean dia, through erkomai, to go. So to go through, to pass through, which means death, to spread or engulf. So death spread or engulfed. So that's what happened. The entire race was engulfed by death. See, we're born dead. We don't know it, but we are. This is spiritual death spreading. The aorist, that tense, is a gnomic aorist for a factor of doctrine that is so fixed and certain that it is axiomatic. The active voice, spiritual death, produces the action of the verb spreading through and engulfing the entire human race. So that's what happened. So we got our status in death from Adam, who was the titular head of the race. The father. The indicative mood is declarative for the dogmatic statement of fact, plus another prepositional phrase, ice, into, plus the accusative plural of pas, all, and man, anthropos, man. So into all men. So everybody was born normally from Adam. Actually, that would include Cain. When Adam and the woman had sex, they had, after the fall, they had kids. The first one was Cain. The second was Abel. The third one was Seth. Okay, we don't know. They had other kids too, but we don't know who they are. And but those are all we needed to know for the purpose of the Bible. And so there's people all propagated on down through. And every one of them starts out in this situation with a sin nature, with spiritual death. And some, and they had to believe in the Lord, Yahweh. That's how it's explained in the book, because it was written in Hebrew. But, you know, whatever that was, that they probably didn't speak Hebrew, but that's what, whatever language they spoke. Moses wrote those books, so he was Jewish. So he was, he was actually Levite from a tribe sense, but in the case of the race, he was a Jewish race. So he was the guy who God was using to communicate to the world at the time, big time. So because all sin, the preposition epi on, plus the relative pronoun hos, whom, and it's translated because the nominative pronoun, masculine pronoun, subject from the pos all, everybody, referring to the entire human race, plus the aorist active indicative of hamataro, which is sinned. So that puts us in our position of weakness, you see, that God has to fix, which he does. The constative aorist of hamataro completes the action of verb in its entirety. The constative aorist gathers into the entire human race together, so that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. Adam is the seminal head of the entire human race. We were all in Adam when Adam sinned, you know, by extension. You think about, there's phrases in the Bible that describe, there was a transition regarding the law between Abraham and Moses. And Abraham was a patriarchal priest, and under Moses, the patriarchal priest was transitioned to a Levitical priesthood. Okay? So, in Genesis, Moses is writing, and he talks about how Levi, who was the son of Jacob, who became the tribe of the priesthood, and Moses was a Levite, they were the guys that ran the show as related to the priesthood of Israel, from that point forward. And they made a transition from the patriarchal priesthood to the Levitical priesthood. And it talks about that in Numbers. And how God made the deal. He says, rather than disrupting all you people and taking your firstborn boy into my service and thereby disrupting every family, I will exchange every firstborn in the country for the tribe. And everybody now who's in that tribe will be candidates for the priesthood. They didn't all serve, but they were all candidates. So it was just like the patriarchal priesthood, only it narrowed the activity involved with that down to one tribe. And he did that. God did it on purpose so it didn't disrupt the entire work, the economic system across the whole nation, all 13 tribes. You see, that's where that transition occurred. And so, but Genesis was written contemporaneously, but it was written referring to a time way back previous when Levi wasn't even around. But Levi was in view in context of Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes in that context to Melchizedek. So that was the point. And the point is to see the tithe during the Levitical priesthood was paid to the Levites. So that transition is Moses actually writes about that in that context, which is kind of interesting. You see, because, well, of course, he knew he was there. I mean, it was written, that time about Abraham was, what, 400 or 500 years before Moses lived. Now, he wrote all the way back to the beginning. Everything that was about, everything in the Bible, in the first five books, the Pentateuch, was written by Moses. And he came along 2,000-some-odd years later, maybe 3,000. So that was always a big flashback. Okay? All those first books are a big flashback from him. I mean, the book he wrote contemporaneously really is Deuteronomy. I mean, that's really contemporaneous. Now, you could say Exodus partly. Yeah, but a lot of Exodus is not. So whatever, it's just interesting to see it that way. But that's why that phrase is in that context. This is why it gives us the idea of the entire human race sinned when Adam sinned. One decision of an important person can involve a lot of people. Now, we see that in our country. One important person in president of the country can involve a lot of people. That'd be the whole country. You wonder why things are going so bad in this country? It's because of the guy we got in there now, as opposed to the guy we had in there before. Wasn't that a major change? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get a chance to go back. We'll see. I'm just saying. Adam influenced the whole world. A president influences the whole country, for better or worse, depending on what the choices are made. So Adam made one decision that involved the entire human race because he was the source of the entire human race from a gene pool perspective. The active voice, the human race, seminally in Adam produces the action of the verb. If we had made the decision that Adam made, it would have been the same decision. We would not have not done anything any differently. The indicative mood is declarative. It represents the verbal action from the viewpoint of reality. So the point is, God put the best person in charge at that point, at that juncture. And it was Adam. And he was the most qualified person to make the best choice. And he made a poor choice. And that means that everybody subsequent to him would have been worse. Kind of crazy, but it's true. Because he puts everybody in position to do the maximum best situation. He made a poor choice as it relates to staying in fellowship with God. Now, God had that dealt with. That was covered. He had already solved that problem. He knew it was coming. Remember, there's nothing God, nothing comes on us that He doesn't know. And we just got to deal with it. Because He's going to come through for us. And if you have the doctrine, you have at least confidence in the situation. When Adam disobeyed, he made the decision for the entire human race. So now each member of the human race has the opportunity to make their own decision regarding another tree, the cross. See, everything revolves around these two trees. You got the tree of the garden knowledge of good and evil, and then you have what? The cross, which is referred to as a tree before it becomes a cross. You know, it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, the cross was only used for a very brief period of time during human history. I think the Greeks, late the Greeks used it, and then it got into the Romans, and then it was pretty much dispensed with. It only came into history for a few hundred years at most. Okay? And it was, I think that was on purpose. God did that. He allowed it to come and go. Because He needed to hang Jesus on a cross. Okay? And that's what He did. But in the, way back yonder, before that happened, before the Greek-Roman transition thing happened, where the cross came into play, it was called being hung on a tree. Okay? That's what it was referred to as. So that's what happened. The two trees are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the cross. And you're actually in one. You're either in both of them or one, you know, as the case may be. You know, everybody's in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because we're part of the human race. But only believers in Jesus Christ are in the cross. One man's decision places all of us under spiritual death, but our own independency, this is where your freedom comes in, volition, the independent decision of faith in Jesus Christ provides us with the eternal, irrevocable relationship with God, so we have the opportunity to receive something far better than Adam lost on the basis of grace and faith. See, what's interesting is God overcame the whole thing with the system of the seed of the woman. And the prophecy of that was in Genesis 3. That the woman and her progeny and the devil and his progeny would be at war with each other, and the devil's progeny would crush the seed of the woman's heel, and he would crush the devil's head. That was the prophecy. All right. So it goes all the way back, and we are set up in this whole system by simply believing in Jesus, because we are condemned because of we didn't do anything about it. Adam did it. So you have, by your choice, free will choice, the opportunity to have the greatest assets ever, and in the church age become part of the royal family of God. When any member of the human race believes in Jesus Christ, God turns the curse and of the sin and death into a blessing of eternal life and peace. So that's, you got your choice right there between one or the other. You know, condemnation, eternal condemnation, but or blessing from God, eternal life forever with Jesus. That is the decision. So our expanded translation of Romans 5:12. For this reason, just as through one man, it would be Adam, the sin in nature entered into the world, and death through, that would be spiritual death, through that sin nature, sin, remember, was the predicate for spiritual death, and in this way, death, that was spiritual death, spread to all men because all sinned when Adam sinned. You know, so that's basically describing our status in Adam as members of the human race, if physically and soulishly alive in spiritual death, with the option to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and become spiritually alive. And then the whole panorama opens up for us. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to study your word, for the clarity it gives us regarding how it is that you solved the problem that the human race had through Adam, and how you turned a curse into a blessing through Jesus. And help us to glory in that. That's what the word says here. We boast in that. We exalt in that because you are the one that overcame the problem and defeated the devil in the fall through our Lord. So we thank you for that and the blessing it is to us. And we ask you to help us to orient to your grace continuously, recognizing what you've done. We ask, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.